Mac Holmes pre-game interview.
Played a massive role in rescuing the football club from the depths of despair in the late 1990s. I do speak of the CEO, Brian Cook. He joins us on K-Rock Football. Cookie, good evening to you. Thank you for joining us in what has been a tough week. Can I first ask how you're holding up after losing a man who meant so much to you?
Oh, no, it's been a tough week, a very sad week for a lot of people, including myself. But we're holding up, and I keep memorising, you know, what Frank might do in this situation, and if he was me, and he would be as solid as a rock and as positive and optimistic as anyone could be. So that's probably where I am at the moment, trying to be all of those things.
We knew Frank was unwell and we knew the end was near, but it still doesn't prepare you for it when you get that phone call, Brian?
No, it doesn't. Frank was unwell for about a year. And the last 3 months, they'd stopped treating him. Basically, he was probably, best way of putting it was, I think he was probably in palliative care at home the last at least month or 2 months. So we were getting ready for this to happen, but when it happens, it's always so disappointing and such a disappointment. Yeah. Anyway, that's what's happened.
Brian, you've got a great memory for interactions. Do you remember your first interaction with Frank Costa in the late 1990s?
Yeah, I actually do. The first interaction wasn't so. It was okay. It was just a normal. A normal chat about the possibility of coming to Geelong from the West Coast, where I was at that time. But the second one was the one that hit me the most, and that was when I walked into his office in Durham at the logistics centre, and in the reception there was this big sign which said "Character first, talent second." You know, spread behind the receptionist, and I asked Frank, "Was that his philosophy?" And he said, "Yes, that's what I believe in," and you know, you employ for values and train for skills. We had that sort of chat, and he really hit it. We hit it off because that's something I very much related to as well. And pretty much that clinched it for me more than anything else. That initial meeting and the handshake, and it was interesting. Also, I never had a contract with club for the first 10 years I was there. You know, it was a handshake with Frank. And so those days have probably gone, to be honest, but they were great times.
Brian, it's Ben Cass. Thanks for joining us on K-Rock Footy. Obviously a sad week, but a great celebration of a great person, not only for the footy club, but for the Geelong community as a whole. You obviously got to see him intimately and you know, see traits in him. What was his best trait in terms of his character?
Oh, no doubt, in my opinion, his optimism. He would always pick the positive things in any situation. If you lost by 50 points, he'd pick out the good parts of the game. If you had a $6 million debt, he'd say, look, we know how we're going to reduce that. So he'd always find the optimistic side. And I never saw him angry or very angry. Maybe every now and again I saw him disappointed. But I never saw him getting angry about business principles or business issues. It was very much about value-based issues, and he would only get a tad unhappy when, you know, people weren't treated well, for instance, with, you know, a lack of respect. And those types of value-based things, those behavioural things, he did get a little bit worried about that. But I never saw him really get overly perturbed about you know, financial issues or facility issues. He just went on his merry way, rolled up his sleeves and did the work.
Paham Mac Holmes, we're reflecting on the life of Frank Costa. We're speaking with Geelong CEO Brian Cook. Here's Pete Ryan on K-Rock Football.
Hi, Brian. My condolences.
Thanks,
just a
Peter.
Question. On Sunday, you mentioned in your, I suppose, the statement that, you know, if Frank Costa hadn't existed, the Geelong Football Club mightn't be in existence. Can you take us through some of the, I suppose, points and things that he did to actually save the footy club?
Yeah, well, back in 1998, He actually got a board together, or a group together, to contest the board elections. They had a total spill, and he had a ticket of six people plus Helene Bender, so there were seven people, and that ticket got up. And basically, if that ticket hadn't have got up, I think that you know, things would have been a lot worse. And look, I think he probably saved his beloved Cats because of his ability to get people to work together. More than anything, you know, Frank could have put in at a whim. He could have put in lots of money into the football club, but he didn't. Mm. He wanted to develop substance in the club, as distinct from doing deals to make it survive. Yeah. And one thing I respected him for was that you know, he knew we had to develop good behaviours and good talent between the layers and within all of the layers of the football club and between the departments and on the board. And eventually that would find its way, we would hope, to all of our members who would understand that. And they did over time. And sure, we had a few really tough years early, but with Frank leading and being able to keep people together and moving in the same direction, I think, you know, he won them over. He was a real people person.
Absolutely. And I spoke to Mark Thompson on Sunday, and he said that he'd never recalled Frank interviewing in football at all. Did you have any conversations with him about football and about the direction things were going?
Oh, yes. No. We would have many a discussion about footy. And Frank had his favourites. Lynchy. Remember Lynchy? He had a few hamstrings, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, Paul Lynch. Yep.
Paul Lynchy, yeah, that was one of his favourites. So he did have his favourites. And often, you know, some of the board meetings would turn into a bit of a selection later on in the meeting. No, but Frank was a keen footy follower. I just don't think he wanted to talk footy to Mark Thompson that much, you know. probably separate the roles or something. I'm not sure, but no, he did. He did. He loved his footy. He did.
Brian, Mark Neild here. That stuff about Frank and the values first and skills second, and then even that story you just said there about how he didn't actually speak to Bomber about footy and things such as that. This answer could probably go for 2 hours, but you haven't got that long. How did it happen that those values got all the way down? You're saying they got to the members, and I agree. They got out onto the footy field, but they did with a man that actually didn't speak football. He stayed in his lane and was an expert and all those sorts of things. Are you able to give us a brief summary as to how all that unfolded?
Well, Frank was clever. He, one thing I learned from Frank was, and I learned this when I looked at him and the way he was developing Costa Group of companies, he would try and hire people better than him in terms of talent. Okay, he would always he believed in hiring people better than him in terms of talent around him, and he felt that you know, that was, you trust those people who can do the job, you support them to the hilt, you trust them to the hilt. And you get the best out of them. And honestly, I think that was his key gift to running a business. He just was a trusting soul.
Brian, Jason Doherty, condolences as well from me. Look, I was able to see Frank work in the community from a not-for-profit perspective, and the relationship that he was able to bring the club into the community must have been a massive thing for the club as well.
Yeah, no, we. I think we're relatively well known. I think it's probably one of our. It's the biggest part of our brand personality. Is our partnerships in the community. And I know that we rate number one amongst all of the clubs in terms of that area. And Frank was a big pusher of that. Frank himself was a patron of at least 30 communities, community groups, or non-profit groups around Geelong. I don't know how he fought at the time, but he had his 30. He had his 30 community groups at one stage. The footy club. He had his children, his 8 daughters and son-in-laws. He had his 24 grandchildren. His 4 great-grandchildren had to run the Costa Group of companies as well. I don't know where he got the time in yet. When anyone asked him for a cup of coffee, I have never heard him say no. He always found the time for everyone. He was the most generous man with money I've ever met. But he was also, and more importantly, he was always generous with his time with everyone.
Yeah, he certainly never failed to take a phone call, Brian, which is a great thing when you're a journalist.
I reckon you should have paid him half your wages at times.
Absolutely. I was just, obviously there's a state funeral next Wednesday. Have you got any plans? Yeah. I know it's early days for how you might honour Frank or pay tribute.
No, not yet. There'll have to be something. Who knows what it is. We'll talk about these things in the weeks to come. At the moment, we're concerning ourselves with the family funeral on the morning, and then more particularly for the footy club, the state memorial service in the afternoon next Wednesday. There's many speakers. The state are organising the speakers right now. We're one of many because his life was so global and it was so full of things. And I look forward to recognising Frank in that way as well.
Brian, you elevated Frank to legend status prior to his death. Can you take us through that moment? I'm guessing you would have been involved in Frank's reaction to that to become the club's 26th legend.
Yeah, no, we've got a relatively independent honouring the past committee that goes through all of the recognitions and the awards. Frank's name was nominated some time ago, and it was approved about a month ago, I would say, around about that, to be a legend, one of 26 other legends, all players, the Dougie Wades of the world, the Gary Ablett. Now we have a non-player, the first non-player being Frank Foster, as a legend of our club. I went, I had the privilege of going up to his unit on the waterfront and speaking to both Shirley and Frank at the same time and acknowledging what had happened, that he had been awarded that the Legends Award, and that we actually had decided on, all of us eventually, to present the award at his unit on May 12th. And so that is now the day of the funeral, just by coincidence. And we're going to, part of the service will be the presentation of that medal to Shirley.
That's absolutely fantastic, Brian. I know what Frank would have loved, and that's to see the Cats beat the Tigers tonight.
Yeah.
How have you seen the Cats seasons thus far?
Oh, look, I think we've played some brilliant footy, and I think we've played some not so brilliant footy. I think we've been a little bit hot and cold, and at times I worry that we may not be as good as we think we are, and at other times I think we're brilliant. So it's been that sort of year so far. So that's how I'm seeing it.
Brian, I think I speak on behalf of all the Geelong Broadcasters family, which includes K-Rock and Bay 93.9, our sister station, in paying tribute to Frank and appreciating your time this evening joining us. Our condolences from all our staff to the football club, but also to the wider Costa family as well. We appreciate your time tonight, Brian. We know you have some other media commitments you have to meet, but we really do appreciate you giving us some of your thoughts on Frank in what has been a tough week. Thank you so much.
No, thanks, King. Thanks for your team. You've always supported Frank, I know that, and it's appreciated. Thank you.
Have a good night, Brian, and hopefully 4 points in the bank at about 20 past 10.
Hope so. Thanks, guys.
Have a good night. Thanks, Brian. Harmac Homes bringing us Brian Cook and the Harmac Homes latest double-story design, the Monarch 1227, including double glazing, floor coverings and driveway for only $294,000, limited to the first 10 Geelong builds only. Terms and conditions apply.
The Harmac Homes pre-game interview.